Now, perhaps some of you have heard the story of the man who was caught in a flood. There was a heavy rain for days on end, and the water had begun to rise. So the man began to pray very fervently. He had no way of escaping the deluge. As the water was up to his ankles then, a large truck came past and offered to pick him up. But the man said, no, thank you. I prayed to God, and I know that he will save me. Again, then, he prayed fervently to God to save him from this disaster. As the water continued to rise, the man took refuge in the second story of his house, and then a boat came by asking if he needed some help. But the man refused again. I have trust in God. I prayed, and I know that he will save me. Well, of course, things only got worse. And as the man was on his roof, about to be consumed by the flood, he dropped to his knees and he prayed harder than he had in all of his life. And as he was trying to pray, a rescue helicopter hovered overhead and a man dropped down on a rope. But the man was angry and he said to the rescuer on the rope, he said, how am I supposed to pray with all of this racket? Now, this story is kind of a tragic but funny example of maybe something that we all experience, at least in a small way. Knowing God's commandments is simple enough. We can read the Bible, we read the catechism, we talk to trusted friends and people we trust, even your priests, right? But knowing God's specific plan for our lives and the world can be a bit of a challenge. Even before we get to the challenges of doing God's will, it's hard to know God's will. It's hard to understand God's will, and it's hard to trust in God's will. I think that in our gospel, Peter and the sons of Zebedee find themselves in the former. They're trying to know and understand God's will. They're spending a lot of time with Jesus, trying to understand and know what's going on. And throughout the gospels, we constantly see that Jesus is trying to help the apostles put aside their expectations and preconceived notions of the Messiah, and show them that he is not just there to liberate Israel, but to liberate the whole world. Liberate not in a political or geographical sense, but in a spiritual sense. When Christ is speaking to Moses and Elijah about the exodus that Jesus was going to accomplish in Jerusalem, this is what the gospel is pointing out. Peter, James, and John, however, slept through this most important part of the conversation, and they awoke to see the incredible scene of Christ dazzling white, talking to Moses and Elijah in glory. Peter, who sounds kind of silly, offering to put up a tent for the three men, does make some sense, because Peter, on his mind, is the old Exodus from the Old Testament, when the Israelites wandered in the desert and dwelt in tents. But again, we know that Christ came for a different exodus, not to dwell in a tent, but in a tomb, not to escape slavery in Egypt, but to free us from sin and death by his own resurrection, not to offer us manna, but his own body and blood. Peter, James, and John at this point don't know and don't understand God's plan and his will for their lives, but soon enough they will. Abraham, on the other hand, struggles more so with trusting God's plan and will for his life. When God says, move to a strange land, okay, move away from your family, fine. But Abraham is already hedging his bets when he brings his nephew Lot with him when he wasn't supposed to. Further, God seemingly wants him to patiently await what seems impossible, to have children in his and Sarah's old age. God asked Abraham to number the stars if he can, for such shall be his descendants. Often we imagine that God took Abraham out at night and he saw a ton of stars and it was pretty cool and all that. But the lesson, I think, is a little bit different. Recently, in a Bible study, it was pointed out to me that it's only a few verses later that we hear that the sun was setting. So presumably, God took Abraham outside during the daytime and asked him to number the stars then. So here the lesson is a little bit different. The lesson is that of trust. You can't see the stars during the day, but we still know that they are there. We trust and are patient that when the night comes, when it comes finally, we will be able to see and number the stars. Now, we know that if we keep reading the book of Genesis, Abraham still struggles in his trust of God, but God more so patiently brings Abraham closer to himself even when he strays. Now, then I know that I am, and I'm sure many of you also find yourselves within this dynamic, trying to know, understand, and trust in God's plan. Fundamentally, all of this is rooted in relationship. In our readings today, we see Abraham and the apostles with God, letting God show them something. Sometimes it's tempting to insert our own will like Peter does, or to falter in our trust like Abraham. But through all of this, we hear the words of the Father. "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." Now, I always talk about the big three: daily prayer, weekly Sunday Mass, and frequent confession. But we also want to continue deeper in this relationship once we hit the big three. In our prayer, having some time for silence can be challenging, but necessary. In the silence, God speaks to our hearts and helps us to know and understand his will. As that relationship deepens and grows, trusting becomes easier. We can begin to respond even to those tiny movements of the Holy Spirit throughout the day, whether it be to pray, to do something kind, or whatever it is. We can more and more easily know, understand, and trust in God's will. In doing so, we conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven, from which we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.